In Acts 17, verses 30 and 31, the Bible says, "In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised them from the dead." Nothing is more clearly and abundantly taught in Scripture than the fact of the coming judgment day. Romans 2, verse 16, the Bible says, makes reference to, "In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel." Romans 3, verse 6, makes reference that God shall judge the world. However, many go through their lives as though the judgment is not coming. However, the Bible clearly teaches that someday, at some point, there's going to be a judgment day. So it is with this lesson that I hope that each of us will reflect more seriously upon this subject of a coming judgment day as we consider several facts taught in the Bible, that this will encourage us, warn us, and we will teach this to others. For those that are living as if there is no coming judgment. First, we consider who will be the judge. Well, Christ will be the judge. In John 5, verse 22, the Bible teaches, "The Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." God will judge the world, yes, but he will do so through his Son, Jesus Christ. Acts 10, verse 42, the Bible says, "And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he, Jesus, which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead." Clearly, Jesus Christ is going to be the judge and going to be the judge of all mankind, and it will be through his words that will be the standard of judgment. Remember in John 12, verse 48, our Lord Jesus said, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." Here Jesus is setting forth the standard of judgment. It will be his word. Through that which he taught, yes, those red letters within the Gospels, but also through those words of the inspired men when he would send the Holy Spirit, and they would, through those miraculous gifts, be inspired to give us the revelation of God's mind and will through the rest of the New Testament. It will be the standard of judgment will be God's Word in the New Testament. There will be many surprised on the day of judgment that it will not be their creeds, nor will it be their council decisions, nor their convention decisions that have been handed down. No, friends, it's going to be the standard is the Word of God. Christ will judge us and we will stand before Him. It'll be similar to one illustration I heard about an offender who walks into the courtroom. And as he walks in, he's overjoyed when he learns that he would be sentenced by a judge who had formerly been his attorney. Yet his joy is turned to soberness when he hears the judge say, "Formerly I was your attorney, and then it was my responsibility to defend you. But now I am your judge and will pass judgment in keeping with the evidence presented in this solemn court." So will it be in the judgment. Christ now is our Savior. We have God's Word, His Word, Christ's Word, that we can have salvation now. He is our Savior. He is defending us, as it were, yes. But in the judgment, He will no longer be our advocate. In the judgment, He will be our judge. That's the way it will be in the judgment. We will stand before the judge of the universe, of all the world, Jesus Christ, and the standard will be the Word of God. Well, then who will be judged? The Bible abundantly makes it clear that all nations will be judged. In Matthew 25, verses 31 through 33, the Bible says, "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on one on his right hand and the goats on the other." There will be a separation. Notice that all nations will be gathered before him. And He will be the shepherd that will separate the sheep from the goats on that occasion. But all nations will stand before Christ in judgment. He will judge the world. We've seen that in the passage that we just read, Acts 17, verse 30, beginning. The times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. God's going to judge the world in righteousness. What's righteousness? That's the standard that we made reference to. All thy commandments are righteousness, Psalm 119, verse 172. That's the standard. He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, wherein he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised them from the dead. Who is that? That is Jesus Christ. Again, pointing back to the previous point, God will judge the world through Jesus Christ. Jesus will be our judge, but he is going to judge the world, and he's going to judge the quick and the dead, the living and the dead. You remember in 2 Timothy 4, verse 1, where the Bible says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Every accountable person will be there and will stand before God in judgment. Romans 14, verse 12, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. And bowing the knee, that is a recognition of the authority of the one to whom we bow. When the Bible says that we shall bow to God, we shall bow to the Savior. That is a recognition of his authority. Remember in Philippians 2, verses 10 through 11, 10 and 11 says that we should bow our knee, that we should confess with the tongue. Right now we have opportunity. Right now we have a choice in the matter. But friends, on the judgment day, there'll be no more opportunity. There'll be no more choice. There'll come a day in which we shall bow before God and we shall confess to God. And every one of us will give an account of ourselves to God. On the judgment day, every knee shall bow. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, the Bible teaches, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. The interesting thing about this passage, it was written by the Apostle Paul. And you notice that the Apostle Paul included himself among those who would appear at the judgment, that he is going to be giving an account of the things done in his body. And on the day of judgment will be a day of separation. At the judgment, I will hear pronouncements spoken. You will hear pronouncements spoken. We will hear either the condoning or the condemning of our Savior. Those on the left side, you remember in Matthew 25, beginning in verse 31, that great judgment scene where he divides all nations, that will divide them as the sheep are divided from the goats. On the left side, they will hear, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Yet on the right side, those will hear, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. We need to ask ourselves, if the world came to an end today, if Christ returned and judgment came, which pronouncement would I hear? Ask yourself that. Would you hear, depart from me? Or would you hear, come ye blessed of my Father? We need to ask that question, but all accountable mankind will be judged. Well, someone may wonder, for what will I be judged? Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13, beginning, teaches that we will be judged for the secret things. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For, why should we fear God and keep His commandments? He goes on with for, because God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good, whether it be evil. The reasons we are to fear God, it is because we have to answer to Him. We must live for the day that we will be face to face with God in judgment. There are many things in our lives we may hide from our friends, from our neighbors, from our loved ones, from the world. Ah, but the all-seeing eye of God is ever upon us. There are secret things that we have in our lives, but God knows. God knows. We cannot hide those things from God. God is omnipotent. He is omniscient. He is all-knowing. He is all-powerful. That is the quality of deity. So we may think that we're hiding things from God. We may think that we have secret things, but ultimately, really, in reality, we do not have those secrets. God knows these things, and those secret things will be brought into judgment. The Bible says that our words we will be judged by. Matthew 12, verse 36, beginning, "But I say unto you, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. In the day of judgment, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." When he says idle words here, every idle word is not referring to mere chit-chat or just silliness. He's talking about those things that matter in regard to our spiritual well-being. In context, he's talking about the Pharisees, and we could talk about having a vain, thoughtless, useless word, a word that accomplishes no good. Here in this context, it evidently means a wicked, injurious, false, malicious words, for such were what had been spoken against him and in regard to him. Those idle words, those vain words, not just mere chit-chat, but those things that we speak, words do matter. We hear that today. And friends, in the judgment, our words will matter. And as we've already seen, our words, the deeds done in our body as well, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that we may that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And the Bible also teaches we will be judged by our works. Many people talk about us being judged merely by our faith, but I found in the Bible that it makes reference to us being judged according to our works. Do you remember that great judgment scene in Revelation 20, verse 12? "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books." Notice this. "According to their works." Some people think work is a bad four-letter word when it comes to our salvation, when it comes to religion. But friends, the Bible repeatedly makes reference to the fact that we will be judged according to our works. This is all pointing to this is going to be a day of personal responsibility. We must be able to stand on our own two feet. There will be no one to help us, not family, not friends, nor neighbors. It's not a trial where we can call character witnesses. I think many of us have the idea that the day of judgment, should the Lord return today and we stand before the Lord in judgment, that somehow it's going to be like a courtroom setting, and that we're going to be able to stand up and present evidence and call witnesses and somehow have this give and take with a judge and try and get our sentence reduced or somehow get, you know, a different outcome like they do, like you see on the People's Court or some of those things you see on TV. Friends, the judgment ain't going to be like that. It's not a trial where we can call character witnesses. We can't rely or blame religious creeds or traditions that have been given us. Those will not save us. Neither will sincerity or morality be our judge. Remember, Saul of Tarsus was sincere, and yet he called himself the chief of sinners. Telling Jesus, the judge, that you attended the church of your choice won't cut it. Neither will saying that you had a better felt than told religion. That won't save you, friends. We are going to stand before God in judgment, and we're going to be personally responsible for the life we have lived, for our obedience to God and to Christ, and the following of His Word and His will. Remember, that goes back to what Jesus said, "The word that I've spoken will judge men at the last day." That's going to be the standard. And friends, we have to remember on that great day when we stand before God in judgment that we are going to be personally responsible. I cannot answer for you, and you cannot answer for me. I will have to answer for myself. Well, when will the judgment day be? Someone may wonder. John 12, verse 48, The Bible says, he that receiveth me and rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken shall judge him. When? At the last day. Notice Jesus calls it the last day. Why is he calling it the last day? Because there's no days after that. When Jesus comes again, when he comes and judges the world, when all mankind stands before him in judgment, it's not the beginning of some thousand-year period where we're going to be able to sit around and talk about it, and he's going to sit on a literal throne, literal Jerusalem, for a literal thousand years. We got some friends that are premillennialists that believe that. It says it's the last day. What does that mean comes after it? Nothing. Eternity. The last day is the last day. That means there's no other days after it. And this will be the resurrection day, John 4, 6, verse 44. So when will the judgment be? It'll be at the last day. Now consider this. There's a sense that we will be judged at our death. Do you remember in Hebrews 9, verse 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Now some commentators will look at this verse and they'll say, but it don't say how long after death the judgment will occur. This could be sometime later, you know, talking about the final judgment, you know, at the end of time and so forth. But friends, if you read the account of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke 16, after death, the rich man went to torments. Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom and was comforted. Upon what basis? And remember, the rich man says that I am tormented in this flame. If there's not a certain amount of judgment going on at death, and friends, many folks will know right now where they will end up on that great gulf, whether they have been obedient to the Lord or not. Many people recognize that it is according to how we live and our obedience to God on which side of that great gulf one will end up. But if there is not a certain type of judgment going on at death, how does one end up in torments, tormented in flame, and the other end up in Abraham's bosom? That's exactly what that account, I don't believe it's a parable, I think it's an account, is teaching. So at the judgment, at the end of time, like I said, it's not going to be like a court trial. It's not going to be like a judgment scene where we see a bench and a literal throne. Remember those in Revelation, those images are symbolic, they're figurative language. What is going to happen at the judgment, those that are alive, it would seem, they're going to be judged because they haven't died. Now, many will know where they're going to end up because of the way they lived. But those that have died, there ain't going to be no changing of condition. If one is in torments, like the rich man, he's not going to be able to go to the other side. Remember, Abraham said there is a great gulf fixed, and those that are on one side cannot pass to the other, and those that are on the other side cannot pass from thence to here. There's no changing your condition. At the end of time, at the judgment, it's going to be for the purpose of pronouncing sentence. That eternal condition where one will end up. Remember in Revelation it talks about, and death and hell gave up the dead. Hell there is Hades. There in that great judgment scene, that is those coming out of Hades, and those that are going to be, those that are in Abraham's bosom, obviously are going to heaven. And those that are in torment are going to Gehenna hell, the lake of fire and brimstone. So there is a sense after death in which one is judged. I had one guy tell me one time, and I love him to death, but he said, well, it's, you know, that judgment after death, you know, that's like, you know, it's like putting someone in prison. And you're in prison, you're restrained for a certain amount of time until the final judgment. But that's not what is taught in the account of the rich man and Lazarus. Those that are in that condition, the rich man was being actively punished. So I said the jail analogy doesn't fit. Doesn't fit. It would be more apt to say that one is put in the electric chair and the switch is turned on and the person walked away, because this person is being actively punished. Now, if one is being punished, wasn't there some sort of judgment went on to determine their punishment or the blessing they would receive? And the rich man, like Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. If
you look at Jude chapter 7, verse 7, it says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. If you look at that word suffering, that is a present tense word. That means continuous, ongoing action. Continuous suffering, the vengeance of eternal fire. That's saying that that was going on right then. Now, I don't want to make a big deal about this, but my point is we need to be warned, and we need to warn others of the wrath to come. That there ain't going to be no changing our condition after death. One's condition is set. There's no second chances after death. After death, that is it. That's where one will end up throughout all eternity. So even after death, it's my study conclusion, there is a sense in which we are judged and we'll end up on one side or the other of Hades, torments, or Abraham's bosom. We will be the judgment day will be at the Lord's coming. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. And then shall every man have praise of God. Now, I'm not a date setter. You know why? Because the Bible says that nobody knows the day specifically. There'll be no signs. The Lord will come as a thief in the night. There'll be no signs. We'll not know when Christ is going to come again. In Mark 13, verse 32, but of that day and hour, the day that heaven and earth shall pass away, Jesus is making reference to, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Even the Son did not know when the day that heaven and earth shall pass away. Because when Christ comes again, the day of the Lord, there's going to be a passing away of all the material universe, 2 Peter chapter 3. And then eternity will begin. So when will the judgment day be? The last day after death, the Lord's coming. Only the Father knows the day and the hour. So in view of the coming judgment, if it were to happen today, one dear sister said, I look forward to your sermon. And I appreciate that. I hope she still feels that way. But when she said that, she was talking about the coming judgment. She said, it could happen at any time. I said, indeed, it could happen. The Lord could come again and judgment could occur before we get out of this building. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I'm saying it's possible. Because we don't know the day or the time. We could be standing before God in judgment, either through death or the Lord's coming, before we get home today, before we get back this evening, before we assemble again next week or next year. The important thing is we need to be prepared for the coming judgment. The fact of God's marvelous love has shown that He has told us about the coming judgment. He has given us His word by which we can prepare, we can realize the coming judgment is real and sure to happen, and we can make preparation. God has revealed who will be the judge, who will be judged, and for what all men will be judged. He has revealed His standard, His God, His will, the word, and we can be watchful for judgment. We don't need to face the judgment fearful. Christ comes again. If we've been found faithful, heaven is our reward. What is there to fear? Now, I'm sure there's a certain amount of uncertainty that might make us a little nervous, but to be fearful is those that are unprepared. When the trump of God sounds and the Lord descends with His angels, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and judgment comes, and the faithful will rise to meet the Lord in the air, and the unjust will be resurrected as well. What have we to fear if we have been found faithful? God has done all He can do to help us. It is now up to us. He does not want a single person to perish in the judgment. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. Are you ready for that day to come? We need to ask ourselves. If you are not prepared, you need to get prepared. Because it will be the faithful, those that are obedient to God through Jesus Christ and Christ's will, that are ready for the coming of the Lord should it occur. What will keep one out of heaven? Sin, unforgiven sin. That's the reason Jesus said in John 8,
verse 24, unless you believe in this, you believe that I am he, you will die in your sin. He had told them also, he said, where I'm going, you will die in your sins, and where I go, you cannot follow. In that same chapter. Where was he going? He was getting ready to go to heaven. He was getting ready to ascend to the Father in the right hand of the Father in heaven. And he said, where I'm going, you'll not be able to follow if you die in your sin. What would keep one out of heaven? Sin, unforgiven sin. So one must believe that Jesus is the Son of God, repent of a life of sin, turn to the will of the Lord, and live according to that standard. That's going to be the standard by which we are judged. Luke 13, verse 3. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish, Jesus warned. Confess the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if you will confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven. And Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16, verse 16. That's the two sides of the gulf, friends. Shall be saved, the other shall be damned. Condemned. Lost for all eternity. You need to make preparation if you have not. We need to stay prepared if you have obeyed the gospel. Myself included, all of us still need to walk in the old paths, walk according to his will and his way. Stay prepared for the coming of Christ, or should death close our eyes and chill the form, that we are ready to be on, hopefully, Abraham's bosom side if we have been found faithful, as we see in the example of Lazarus. Maybe you've obeyed the gospel in time past and need to repent of leaving the assembly or leaving the Lord. Maybe there is a sin in your life you need to repent of publicly. It's of such a nature that it requires a public penitence. If it's of a private nature, bow your head, pray the Heavenly Father. That's the assurance of the child of God, that we can know that our sin will be forgiven, because we have to have a penitent attitude. We will need to call on the Father to forgive us for those private sins, those secret sins. We must be willing to repent of those, to be forgiven of them. But if it's of a public nature, you need to come forward and publicly confess that you have sinned, or that you have wandered away from the church, or whatever the case may be, and we'll pray with you, we'll pray for you. Our elders stand ready to pray with you and to help you in any spiritual way that they can. Maybe you need the prayers of your brothers and sisters. Well, maybe you haven't maybe you're struggling with sin. Maybe you're having struggles that you need the prayers of your brothers and sisters. Friends, as I've always said, and as the Bible teaches, we are brothers and sisters. We are spiritual Zion. We are the Lord's army. We are enrolled in heaven. Our names are enrolled in heaven. That is where our citizenship is. That's where we hope to be someday if we've been found faithful. We're not in this battle alone. We're not in this citizenship alone. We're in it together. We can pray for one another. We can find comfort in one another. We all struggle with sin. We all fall short sometimes, and sometimes we need to rely on one another to help us make heaven someday. I hope you want to see me in heaven, and I hope to see you in heaven someday when this life is through, and we can rely on one another. We can pray for one another. So whatever your need might be, come forward as together we sing the song of invitation.
There's a great day coming, a great day coming. There's a great day coming by and by, when the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? There's a day coming, a bright day coming. There's a bright day coming by and by, but its brightness shall only come to them that love the Lord. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are judgment day. There's a sad day coming, a sad day coming. There's a sad day coming by and by, when the sinner shall hear his tomb depart. I know ye not. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day?